Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070, WKOK, and Sean Carey. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors Studio as we speak in our Monday edition, always brought to you by Purdy Insurance in Sunbury. With this being a new year, maybe it's time to check, double check the policies that you currently have. Maybe you need something different. Maybe you need to update your policy to make sure you have what you need in case something comes up, because life happens, and they will go to work for you in case you ever need to file a claim. So they've been with us on the Steve Jones Show since day one, and they will be there for you when you need them the most. Purdy Insurance, stop by their office in Sunbury or go to purdyinsurance.com. Lots of ways you can get in touch with us here on the show. You can check out our Facebook page, give it a like. We post links to our daily podcasts. Of course, you can find them at stevejonesshow.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter. Give us a follow at stevejonespsu. All right, Super Bowl 51 is set. Of course, you will hear that here on News Radio 1070 WKOK on Sunday, the 5th of February from Houston. It was last night, the Patriots over the Steelers, 36-17, and Atlanta over Green Bay, 44-21. That game was over in a hurry. Actually, the Steelers game was kind of over a little earlier than I wanted it to be, for sure, and for all Steeler fans as well. But Tom Brady being Tom Brady, and now the New England Patriots will be in their 9th Super Bowl as they go up against the Atlanta Falcons, making their second Super Bowl appearance in the history of their franchise. And what was the over-under? 60.5, 61, something like that for the Green Bay Atlanta game. So it went up and over that. But the Steelers last night, Ben Roethlisberger passing for over 300 yards. I think he ended up with something like 310, I want to say. 310 yards for Ben. But Antonio Brown, no factor in the contest last night. Antonio ending up with 7 catches for 77 yards. But the big player of the game last night was Chris Hogan, the former Penn State lacrosse player. 9 catches, 180 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So it's a guy that we've talked about here quite a bit on the show, but the entire nation chimed in that never heard of Chris Hogan before. He pretty much took over the role of Gronkowski in last night's contest. And the flea flicker was the big backbreaker in the contest last night for New England as they move on to Super Bowl 51. Jennifer Wakeman checking in with us this afternoon. Hello, hello.
Hello. You're talking about the Steelers, and I'm still sad, but so I couldn't let you mourn alone on the air. That seemed really pathetic.
I appreciate you checking in to make sure I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you're not standing on a ledge anymore.
No, I wasn't at all. I wasn't
you
at
were
all
a
last
little
night.
Unhappy last night. You're, based on the text messages
that's
I got.
True.
Your team's bad.
Oh, wait. Now, that's who picked them? Who picked them Friday? Who said, I'm pretty sure they're better than the Patriots. They've been playing really well lately. And now it's just your team's bad.
Your team's bad.
It was a rough night at the office last night.
Yeah, it
look,
was.
I have no dog in the hunt. Your team's bad.
Well, it depended on which Ben Roethlisberger interview you heard. He said, I thought there was a segment that Rob played this morning in sports that was like, I thought the guys played well and yada, yada, yada. And then
not
there
that
was,
well.
And then, yeah, not that well. Not and then there well. Was, I think somewhere in there, well, someone told me later, it's like, but we had young receivers, who couldn't catch a ball in a playoff game.
Jesse James did fine.
Yes, he did.
Eli Rogers did fine. D'Angelo Williams did fine.
Sammy Coates.
Sammy Coates, bad.
Yeah.
Hamilton, bad. And Cecil B. DeMille, bad. So,
Cecil
I mean,
B. DeMille.
Okay.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
I mean, okay, I've now watched, as you know, I have never said that Antonio Brown's the best receiver in football. I have never said that.
You
that's
not.
Because that's because I do have never thought that Antonio Brown was the best receiver in football. Now, do I think he's one of the 10 best receivers in football? Yes, he's in the category of 10 now. Pick the spot based on your own personal preference. But when I watched Richard Sherman school him last year, one-on-one, okay, that's where I said to myself, nope, he can be taken out. That's it. You watched how lazy he was last night running routes. The replays were were a tremendous indictment of his poor play. This is what I saw.
About that,
okay.
Okay, so here's my question about that, and literally, it's a question because I don't know. I didn't see that, but I don't watch football the way you watch football, most likely. But do you think he was lazy running routes because he knew he was not going to get the ball, because he knew he was double teamed and they couldn't get it to him anyway? So, like, why bother?
You always have to assume you're getting the ball. Always.
That's why I don't play football.
You
I don't
always
want the ball.
Okay. There's only right. But there's only five of you who can catch it. You have to assume, especially when you're the first option, that okay. And they're saying, well, why do you say he's lazy? He's lazy because anytime you watch a receiver rounding routes, you then become exponentially easier to cover. If you're sharp with your cuts and you can get out of your breaks, right? Again, the defensive back doesn't know where you're going. And he wasn't sharp on anything he did last night. Zero. Julio Jones for Atlanta is a better receiver than Antonio Brown. For that reason, he's also a bigger, faster version of him, too. But the difference between the Atlanta Falcons and the Pittsburgh Steelers is Mohamed Sanu. Steeler fans don't like to hear that because he used to play for the Bengals. But who on the other side is Mohamed Sanu for your team? Nobody. There are four great stars that played in last night's game. One showed up. Unfortunately, he didn't wear the colors of your team. Le'Veon Bell, I feel a twinge. Not good. Antonio Brown, I'm really great. No, you're not. And then Ben, I thought Roethlisberger gave it everything he had last night. I think he was kind of working with a tough deck. So I give Roethlisberger credit. I thought Roethlisberger played his guts out in that game last night. And so did D'Angelo Williams. I thought James and Rodgers, okay. The offensive line actually wasn't that bad last night. But what did I say going into the game? Who were two of the critical guys that had to play? James Harrison, Bud Dupree. Okay? I mean, they were as effective as Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, Hargrave, the rookie, was the only one that got a sack. That was early.
That was actually one of the key moments in that game, was early in the third quarter. It was still a 17-9 game. I'm telling you, Brady fumbled the ball, and I'm telling you, Hargrave recovered
it. Oh, he did. You were right. That was a bad call.
I mean,
Although we finally got the distinctive angle of the play, but it was after the commercial break. But
yeah.
That was long after.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
No,
and I'm sorry, there was not a single penalty in, like, the first quarter or the first half or something.
First half.
Come on.
First half.
You were watching, and one of my friends was giving me a hard time about this last night because I was tweeting or texting them about it. And I said, well, yeah, you know why Brady gets 14 seconds in the pocket? Because all of my guys are being held right now. And if you watch the replay, there were a couple of times where, you know, that he's got him by the jersey. I'm like, come on, man. I get it. And there's always holding in football. Everybody knows it. But throw a few bones. Call a couple of holds when they're blatantly grabbing jerseys in front of you.
But.
And then my friend said I was whining like a Steeler fan. But, you know, whatever.
but all the footballs were regulation. All right, so.
Really, do we know that for sure? Do we have absolute verification of this? Because I wondered this, did I not, Sean?
If Terry McCauley's doing the game, you're fine.
All right.
Let me tell Jen one quick thing about her Purdue team.
Nah, we don't need no stinking point guard, man.
You will, but after seeing Duke in person twice and seeing Purdue in person once, and I'll get a second shot here and probably a third shot in Washington, Purdue's better than Duke. They're better than Duke in a couple of ways. There are a couple of players that each team that have that are similar. I think that when I look at Dakota Mathias and I look at Vince Edwards, I'm seeing Luke Kennard. I'm seeing Matt Jones. When I look at Haas, he's not the same kind of guy, but Emil Jefferson's that blue-collar guy underneath. I mean, Haas is a different player than Emil Jefferson, but they're both tough. But what Purdue has is Swanigan.
Yep.
And nobody has, and Swanigan is, I mean, enjoy him while you have him because he's done after this year.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well,
I would love him to stay one more.
But Jenny's a three-letter player now.
I know.
And because he not only can rebound, he is also a very good passer. This is not a black hole where the ball comes in and the ball never comes out.
Right.
That's Haas.
Right.
Haas just gets the ball. Haas never kicks it out. But Swanigan's a very good passer.
Mm-hmm.
Swanigan is really good with his back to the basket. He's not a great shot blocker. He's okay.
And he's a good shot maker from a variety of places.
He is a face-up shooter, and in the NBA, the fact that 6'9", he can face up and hit a 20-foot shot, they love that.
Yep.
And that's, I mean, and Purdue is a better basketball team than Duke. Now, I'll see Wisconsin tomorrow night, obviously, in person.
Right.
But Purdue already won at home over Wisconsin. And I think I felt going into the week, and I said it on the show Friday, I mean, I may have been wrong about the Steelers 10-point game. That was part wishful thinking to egg on the masses a bit. But I said that Purdue and Wisconsin in basketball were the two Big Ten teams that had separated themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Purdue is better than Duke. All right. They do a great job of running the offense through Mathias. They're quicker than people realize. They also, in today's game, a year ago, 45 teams were able to get 35% of their points from three-point or better. Now that number's up to 71 teams that have 35% of their points from three. Mathias, Swanigan, Vince Edwards, Carson Edwards, and P.J. Thompson can all shoot the three, which means that they can spread the floor and create spacing all over the place because of the three-point shooters.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson is no better than an okay point guard.
Right.
He is an excellent shooting point guard, and the reason he's an excellent shooting point guard is because the other people need to be guarded. You don't worry so much about him. When they get to one and done, that's where Thompson will become an issue because he's going to face somebody else on the other side that has a good chance of being comparable, which then becomes a problem for Purdue. That's why they lost the tournament last year.
Yeah, and they haven't had, honestly, I mean, I've been watching this team play now for 24 years, something like that, whenever I was in graduate school. And when I was in grad school, that was when the big dog was there. So we had Glenn Robinson. That was his last year, next to last year. I forget when I was there. And we had a good point guard then. Matt Wardell was a great point guard.
Yes,
and
he
but
was.
He also had Konzo Martin on that team. I mean, it was just a stellar team to watch.
Yes.
But they
I recall doing the games.
I was just in school. You were working.
I was working. They lost at Rec Hall, by the way, that group.
Did they?
Oh. Yeah, Penn State beat them.
That's right. That was right after Penn State came into the Big Ten, wasn't it?
Purdue was ranked 7th in the country. And Matt Gaudio went chest to chest with with Glenn Robinson at the free throw line to my left and said, hey, he says, big dog, big nothing. Get out of here.
But they haven't, I mean, it's never been, and maybe not that anybody wants to sit here and like discuss the history of Purdue basketball like I would, but nobody else wants you to do that. I'm not sure they've ever had, it's not always, I mean, particularly since Katie left, so in the Painter years, I'm not sure that they've ever had a really strong point guard. He tends to pull these like shooting guard types, and you know, they, I mean, if you watch, well, obviously you watch the game on Saturday, well, but they rotate through them. You know, Thompson comes in, Edwards comes in. You know, they can get.
I think he thought he had a couple of them. They didn't pan out so great. Johnson from Indianapolis. I think he thought that was going to be the point guard that was going to carry him for 4 years, and they've kind of plugged in graduate guys like John Octius last year. John Octius. Through from Colorado State by way of the 2 weeks he had at UCLA and then showed up at Purdue magically.
We had one a couple years ago who ran the offense really well. He wasn't an amazing shooter, but he was fast and he worked really hard on defense, and his name has completely escaped me. Little short guy, which is saying something in basketball, and his name is gone. But it was the year before Octius. It was when we still had... Juwan Johnson was still there. It was Johnson's senior year.
When they had Etwan Moore and they had
Etwan Moore and Juwan Johnson
and Robbie Hummel.
Robbie Hummel, but Robbie was out. Ugh, story of my life, Robbie Hummel's injuries. Again, I could go on for hours, but I won't because people will be bored.
Yeah. I'll make one quick statement and then we'll take a break. And that is Gene Katie, of course, who's one of the great guys ever.
Yeah.
I really like Gene a lot personally. Was celebrated at halftime. Just to let you know how difficult it is to get to the Final Four, Gene Katie coached a quarter of a century and had a legitimately great career and never got there.
Never?
Never
made it?
Nope. That's how hard it is to get to the Final Four. I made that point at halftime on Saturday.
Wow.
Now, that Sean's
did
really happy.
Did you get your Gene Katie bobblehead? It was Gene Katie bobblehead day on Saturday.
No, you didn't get one? No, I've talked enough to Gene in my lifetime. I don't need a bobblehead.
I would have liked a Gene Katie bobblehead.
I'm sure you would have.
I think, actually, I'm pretty sure Brad has one in his office right now. I'm pretty sure.
I feel like we're having a suit.
I'm still waiting for my Steve Jones bobblehead next.
They have that microphone thing.
You know? They do.
They do have that.
We do.
So,
we have the way of them here, yeah.
Now, Sean's happy that we talked about Purdue basketball because that avoided the topic of just an absolutely pathetic performance last night by his team. And you, I mean, really, you guys were bad.
We know they were bad, okay? Can we go to break now? Or something. Wow.
Steelers.
They were bad. We know. We watched it. We weren't as bad as the Packers, though. I don't think.
Yeah, but the Packers. The Packers have injuries.
I don't care.
Packers
so
just ran out of gas yesterday.
I felt bad for the Packers because everybody went the whats. The Atlanta has a team.
Yes, I know. Well, the Falcons are now in the Super Bowl.
What?
The one thing
and
they
Sean
can do
and I
is
are their biggest fans.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Roger Goodell's now actually going to have to go to a Patriots game. All right. Illness in the family, can't go. I'm contagious. I don't want to get anybody sick. All right. So the assistant commissioner in charge of football allocation is now going to hand the Super Bowl trophy over. Okay. The guy in charge of the pylon cam. All right.
The dial-a-down guy.
By the way, Peter King is going to join us on Thursday. Okay. And for those who from Sports Illustrated and NBC and HBO and everything else Peter's done, it'll be a lot of fun to have him on the show. So I think most people know the background by now, the two of us, right?
Well, if we don't, tell us.
I do.
Yeah. I don't.
Okay.
Oh, you don't? Oh.
Well, I haven't read the 7-volume set of The Life and Times of Steve Jones. I mean, it's in my office waiting for me to read it, but I just haven't had time.
It's on sale at most Walden Books. I don't get it. We actually grew up about a mile apart, played in the same Little League team together, went to high school together. So.
Oh, cool. So, you know a little tiny Steve Jones. That's so exciting.
No, he's older than I am.
Oh, snap. Here it comes.
No. I can tell you right now, as a baseball player, exponentially better than I ever thought that I would ever be. He was much better. Much, much better. Yeah, so, but we're both diehard Red Sox fans. Diehard. But it'll be a lot of fun to have him on the show. We are not going to do the trip down memory lane stuff from the two infield guys. We're going to talk. There's a lot too many things in football to talk about. So, the last time I talked to him was at Super Bowl Media Day before the Seahawks Broncos game. It's the last time I talked to him. All right. We will take a break. Jenna, it was fun. Your team's better than Duke. You feel better?
I feel much better now. Not that I didn't know that, but now it's verified.
Yeah.
I have official, they've been declared. They're Steve Jones approved.
I'm just telling you, they're better than Duke.
Okay.
I believe you. They really are. Duke may have more NBA players, but Purdue's better. So.
Cool.
All right. We will take a break. God, Sean, your team was bad. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, the official insurance to the stars.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855. Check us out online at purdyinsurance.com or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Did the suit even show up for work today?
He did.
Probably had the door shut all day.
A little better than I thought. He's a little more outgoing than I anticipated.
Must have money on the game.
Where the cheddar went, I'll let you know when I find out.
Hopefully, whatever he won doesn't go into buying another cheddar. All right. Time now for this day in sports history. 1879, the National Archery Association was organized in Crawfordsville, Indiana. Okay, so we started with the big one. Now let's move on. 1944, the Red Wings set a record for most goals, most consecutive goals, and most points in a game when they beat the New York Rangers 15-0. And during the game, they had 37 assists. 1950, the NFL owners approved the unlimited substitution rule that had been on a trial basis for the 1949 season. Red Wings ended a streak of 47 straight wins when leading after two periods. They were beaten on this date in 1966. Diana Ross, national anthem, halftime, or excuse me, national anthem before the game, 1982 Super Bowl. 1985, O.J. Simpson became the first Heisman Trophy winner to be elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. Again, that was 1985. 9 years before the fateful, tragic killing of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. All right. 1988. This is a suit moment. Okay, I'm going to put one suit moment in there. Okay? At the Quaker State Open, Bob Benoit won a $100,000 bonus and became the first bowler to win a televised tournament by rolling a perfect 300 game. Chris Schenkel and Bo Burton. Excited.
I loved watching those most of them would be on ABC Sports, 3:30 to 5 Saturday afternoons, right before Wide World of Sports.
Yep.
That was fun to watch growing up.
Exactly. And Bo Burton used to tell everybody the ratings for bowling were better than the ratings for college basketball, and that would just absolutely infuriate Billy Packer. That would infuriate Billy Packer. Get into arguments with people at airports. College basketball's still on, my man. Pro bowling is not. So something over the time changed. Don't know. All right. The next half hour, Donnie Collins, Scranton Times-Tribune. We're going to duck away from the Steeler talk for a moment. There used to be a show on PBS, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Do you remember hearing about that?
Yeah, a few years back. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. During the game yesterday, they were playing the same game. Where in the World is Antonio Brown? All right. So, you didn't like that joke, did you?
Hey. Belichick took him out of the game. Great game plan.
Took himself out of the game. You got to work to get yourself open. You tell me where he worked to get himself open yesterday. I mean, where did he work to get himself open? Where?
Yeah, I saw replays of ice. Yeah, he was either single covered with Malcolm Butler or double covered in the neighborhood.
Right.
Every time
they bracketed him, but you know, there were times where he had time. You know, and Brown usually does a great job of working to get himself open. He didn't seem to really put much effort in getting himself open yesterday. So, all right. But it was not Cecil B. DeMille's best day. Yeah, hold on a second here. You sent me a text. Let's see here. I got the Peter King text. This one has a picture in it.
Yeah, you were talking about Roger Goodell there at the bottom of the hour. I found a funny picture I thought I'd send you.
Yeah. Let's see. Attachment. Wearing his Falcon son. Yeah, okay. I got it. Yeah. I don't think so. You know what he should have done in all seriousness?
Should have went to the game.
But he should have gone to like some innocuous regular season game, just taken his medicine, got it out of there. Because look, do you think he's fearful of the Patriot fans? Of course he's not. He's not. That's not him. That's not the way he is. But he should have gone to some innocuous Sunday 1 o'clock Patriots game, taken his medicine, got it out of the way, moved on. You know, instead of waiting till now. See, that's the kind of public relations move you just got to make once in a while. Just do it. Get out of the way. That's how all the guests feel about our show.
Well, it's like a Band-Aid. Sooner or later, you got to take the Band-Aid off and, you know.
Fine, let's just do it. I'll get it out of the way now. Then Steve won't ask me for another month. Matt Leon certainly feels that way. Matt from KYW Philadelphia. First of all, just quickly, Matt, before we get to some Philadelphia news. What do you think of the Super Bowl matchup between the Patriots and the Falcons?
I think on paper it should be a lot of fun. I was actually surprised with how easily they both won yesterday. I actually thought Green Bay would beat the Falcons. I was surprised that Atlanta won that game, but to win the way they did was very impressive. And I thought the Patriots would win. But I expected that to be a real knockdown dragout, and the ability of the Patriots to completely neutralize special players on other teams is really, really something. So it'll be very interesting to see. I mean, just the first thing that jumps out at you at this matchup, obviously, is Julio Jones, and it'll be interesting to see if the Patriots can find a way to neutralize him the way they did Antonio Brown, because if you do that, Atlanta's got other weapons. They can do a lot of things, but it does change the dynamic.
Well, that's what I was saying on the show today. To me, the biggest difference between Atlanta's offense and the Steeler offense is Mohamed Sanu. The Steelers don't have a Mohamed Sanu. And I think that's the kind of balance I think you're hoping for when they're trying to take the other guy out.
Oh, yeah, no question. And Matt Ryan is playing out of his mind right now. So you got to take that. Because that was something that I think was a little under-talked about. The last couple of months with the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger has been pretty pedestrian for a couple of months. It kind of got lost because Le'Veon Bell was just so spectacular, and Antonio Brown still put up a lot of numbers. But Roethlisberger wasn't quite what we're used to, I think, numbers-wise, and as far as getting the ball downfield quite as much. And obviously that is not a problem right now for Matt Ryan. So it'll be interesting to see how he challenges that secondary.
Well, and that's in the other part too, is, you know, we've talked about the on the show repeatedly, is the fact that for whatever reason, Roethlisberger hasn't played well on the road. I mean, he hasn't played well on the road all year. And for 2 years, he didn't play well on the road.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, there's obviously always going to be a dynamic where you're a little more comfortable at home, but the splits, for lack of a better term, with the Steeler passing game, home and road, is really, really something. And it's amazing. You don't, in a league built on parity like the NFL, to see something like that from a good team is really something.
All right, I got to get into Joel Embiid. Give me some. What has the guy doesn't play for 2 years? What has allowed this to happen? We're now the Sixers going to your place, and you're sitting there saying this is a legitimate problem here tonight because he's made them good.
Oh yeah, no question about it. I mean, everybody I think thought the talent was there. I think the concern for a lot of people was that he was going to be an injury plagued guy who maybe, you know, because of that foot issue he had that cost him the 2 years, and I think especially after he had the re-injured foot where he missed the second season, which wasn't anticipated. I think a lot of people started to roll their eyes. You know, is this another Greg Oden? Is this another Sam Bowie? Talented big guy who just can't get onto the court. And he is just, it's incredible to consider that he's only, you know, played the 1 year at Kansas, didn't play much basketball before that. He looks like such a polished talent when he's out there. And this is not just a guy who is setting up shop on the block and just physically manhandling other guys. I mean, there's an aspect of that, but he is a guy who's an outstanding foul shooter. He can shoot the three. He can move from the perimeter. He can run the floor. He can make move off the dribble. He can do just about everything. Now, that being said, he did get hurt Friday night in that win they had over Portland. Didn't play Saturday, which was to be expected. But now he's going to – they've officially listed him as doubtful, but then Brett Brown came out after practice and said he's not going to play the next two games. And then they'll take it from there with this knee contusion he suffered. He went in for a monster dunk on Friday, and you can just see he kind of landed weird. Looked like he jammed the leg, and then he came back and had the same thing happen again. And so you're kind of keeping an eye on that. They say it's precautionary, and at this point there's no reason not to believe. But, no, he's energized basketball fans and really sports fans in this town, not just with how good he appears he can be and how good he is right now, but also the social media, his personality. He's really the total package, and if he can stay healthy and spend the next few years, you know, out there on the court, it's going to be a lot of fun here in Philadelphia.
Yeah. What about building around him? Now, we know about Simmons. I mean, we understand that part, but what also about building around him? What other parts do they have?
Just me, obviously you said Simmons. I think Nerlens Noel is a keeper. I think Noel's defensive skill set is incredibly unique in not just the NBA but in basketball today. And I think he is a guy that does not need the basketball to succeed. So you could see him playing a role as your backup center and also as a, you know, guy that can swing around the front court as a game and matchup goes on and on. I don't see Jahlil Okafor in the big picture because Jahlil Okafor, and this is nothing against him, it's just his style, he has to have the basketball to be successful.
That's right.
If Joel Embiid is on the floor, I don't want anyone else having the basketball every possession other than Joel Embiid. And I just think it just doesn't make sense. I think that's going to have to – you can still justify having Okafor here as long as you're still kind of taking your time with Embiid as far as back-to-backs and stuff because he does get significant minutes when Embiid – on games Embiid sits out. But if you're looking big picture going forward with the anticipation that Joel Embiid will play 82 games next season, I just don't see a role for Okafor. They've got some other guys. Robert Covington has proven to be an outstanding perimeter defender with a big wingspan. And he's starting to hit some big shots. He hit the three that beat Portland on Friday night. He also had a layup earlier in the season that gave them a win at the buzzer. I don't think T.J. McConnell's a starting point guard in the NBA, but I think T.J. McConnell's a really, really good number two, 15 to 18 minutes on a good team.
Who
does smart things, doesn't get out of control. I think they've got another talented big that nobody talks about because of the logjam up front. This kid, Rashawn Holmes, who's very athletic, can roll between the four and the five. Isn't making a ton of money as a second-round pick a couple years ago. It's interesting. Everybody talked about whether or not it could be, is it Noel or is it Okafor that stays? I think there's one school of thought, and I don't think it's crazy, that you move Okafor and Noel, and you just have Rashawn Holmes as the backup because he's also a guy, though, that's probably very comfortable only playing 15 minutes a night. as opposed to a Noel, who I think it's pretty obvious sees himself, and probably rightfully so, as a starter, as a 35-minute-a-night guy on a team. So are there still holes? Yes, they need better perimeter shooting consistently. Nick Stauskas has been better this year than he was last year. I think in a perfect world, he is probably an eighth or ninth man on a roster. So they've got a lot of periphery pieces. It's really just going to be interesting when Simmons comes back. It'll be interesting to see how that changes the dynamic again, because you can see the dynamics in the games that they don't play with Embiid to the games they do play with Embiid, and now to see the games where they get Embiid and Simmons, which hopefully isn't too far away, that will be really something.
Thanks so much. Time goes quickly. Appreciate it, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Talk to you next week.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. A brand new Hyundai Elantra from Sunbury Motors Hyundai can be yours for only $215 per month. This is not a lease payment. $215 per month on a brand new Hyundai Elantra with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors says a 2017 Hyundai Elantra is the absolute best buy for your buck in 2017. Sunbury Motors was voted best car dealership, best quick service, and best body shop. Now add best new compact vehicle with the Hyundai Elantra, and you just made the best decision of 2017. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. There's 34 to choose from, starting at $215 per month, tax and tags extra, at 2.99% APR for 84 months to qualified buyers. Sunbury Motors Hyundai declares 2017 the year of the Elantra. You know, when we were younger, I would think that the gold standard in football reporting was probably somebody like Will McDonough. I felt for the last 20 years in terms of storytelling, column, and reporting, Peter King has been there. And for the first time on this show, we'll have Peter King on from Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated joining us. He'll be on the show Thursday. I did not bother, by the way, unpacking my bag.
Ah, smart move. Yes.
Yes, I'm leaving. I'm leaving in 2 hours here.
Well, 48 hours this time instead of 28, so that's not bad.
Yeah, but we got back. We had a Circle Stay College.
Oh, you were thinking you'd probably get back about 6 o'clock Saturday night.
That didn't happen.
Oh.
We circled, and the fog was so thick, we had to go to Pittsburgh. So we get to Pittsburgh, and whomever is down there, nobody in our party at all, gave us a slice of erroneous information and said, well, the bus is pretty close, because we called ahead. And finally we found out the bus is pretty close. It was 2 hours away.
Well, if it makes you feel better, President Obama and his family on Friday, they had to circle Palm Springs for a while before they landed on Friday night, before they could start their vacation.
Yeah, but they have a buffet. So
they probably did, yeah. On the plane.
I grabbed an apple at the Atlantic building. So I looked at Dick and I said, I'm not waiting for the bus. I said, let's rent a car and get out of here. And we did. They ended up renting vans and getting vans back. But I got back about, I don't know, 8:30 or something like that, 8:30, 8:45. But I said to Dick, I said, we got to get out of here. I said, let's just rent a car and get out of here. Now, you feel a lot more freedom to do that when it's under the Learfield banner. But we did. So.
Okay, yeah, I have not gone over my stipend so far this season. We're good.
I mean, I know I... Well, you know what? It turned out Dick had points.
Nice.
You know how much the rental was? $7.
Wow, there you go. Take that every day.
So we used his points and we got the car that way. fact, I gave the driver that took us over to the terminal to the National Rent a Car. I gave him a bigger tip than what Dick paid for the car. Oh, goodness. So off to Madtown tomorrow night at 9. We'll do the show tomorrow from Madison. Nathan Davis will be on the show tomorrow. And again, Peter King on Thursday from Sports Illustrated. Peter, to me, is a gold standard. Thrilled to have him on.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.